I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again, until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves, so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I will play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves, so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech may have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I will play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves, so that any symbols of my speech, with perhaps the exception of venom, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech.
one of composer Alf Lucier's best-known works, featuring Lucier recording himself narrating a text, and then playing the recording back into the room, re-recording it. The new recording is then played back and re-recorded, and this process is repeated. Since all rooms have characteristic resonance or form and frequencies, e.g. different between a large hall and a small room, the effect is that certain frequencies are emphasized as they resonate in the room, until eventually the words become unintelligible, replaced by the pure resonant harmonies and tones of the room itself. The recited text describes this process in action. A. It begins, I am sitting in a room, different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and the rationale. Concluding, I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have, referring to his own stuttering.
Welkom bij Edge, het radioprogramma waar alles kan. Gepresenteerd door ondergetekende Bouwkor, Bouke Mekel. Dit keer niet vanuit de Oog radiostudio, maar vanuit mijn home studio. Want deze week ben ik er niet, maar wel via deze opname. We begonnen dus het programma met I'm Sitting in a Room. Een klassieker van Alvin Lucier. Die past bij het thema microfoon dat we de afgelopen 2 weken ook hebben gedaan. De human microphone of the microphone. En dit was dus een meer experimenteel werk waarbij de microfoon centraal staat. Hierna komt een klassiek werk of een klassieker van John Cage. Het betreft nummer 4 minuten 33 seconden. Dat is op de televisie uitgezonden. En ik zal even mijn Natural Reader weer vragen om dit stuk in te leiden. Veel plezier.
4:33 A pronounced 4 minutes 33 seconds is a 3-movement composition by American experimental composer John Cage, 1912, A.I. 1992. It was composed in 1952 for any instrument, or combination of instruments, and the score instructs the performer not to play the instrument during the entire duration of the piece throughout the 3 movements, which, for the first performance, were divided into 30 seconds for the first, 2 minutes and 23 seconds for the second, and the third being 1 minute and 40 seconds. The piece purports to consist of the sounds of the environment that the listeners hear while it is performed, although it is commonly perceived as 4 minutes 33 seconds of silence. 4 minutes 33 seconds is John Cage's most famous and most controversial composed.
Cage wrote 4 minutes 33 as a piece in 3 movements where the performer does absolutely nothing, allowing the audience to absorb the sounds around them. Everyone experiencing the piece in a different way, therefore, because we all hear things in a different way. Tonight the piece is being presented in a full orchestral version conducted by Lawrence Foster. He's going to give a downbeat to each of the 3 movements. He'll turn pages when he needs to, and of course the orchestra will remain silent, we hope, throughout the piece. I reckon Cage would have been pretty pleased that this piece is being televised, because of course you at home are going to experience this piece in a very different way to those of us here in the hall.
Well, I promise you, this is the piece everyone here tonight has come to experience. There really is nothing like John Cage's 4 minutes, 33 seconds. Well, that's one of the most extraordinary performances I've ever experienced here in the Barbican Hall. 4 minutes and 33 seconds by John Cage.
Ja, en dat was dus het nummer 4 minuten 33 seconden van John Cage. We volgen het programma met een volgend stuk, ook gerelateerd aan die microfoon, van Dick Rijmakers. Die heeft het stuk, of eigenlijk een theaterstuk, Intona gemaakt. En dat in 1992 bij V2 in 's-Hertogenbosch uitgevoerd. Intona is een stuk waarin de microfoon de kans heeft gekregen om zichzelf uit te drukken. Kijk, normaal is de microfoon natuurlijk bedoeld om geluid of muziek te reproduceren. Maar in dit theaterstuk is het juist de bedoeling om meer subversief op te gaan met die microfoon. Om de microfoon van de microfoonstandaard af te halen. En vervolgens er allerlei experimenten mee uit te halen. Iets wat Karlheinz Stockhausen ook al deed in de jaren 60. En dit stuk is dus uit 92. Het duurt iets meer dan 20 minuten. Dus ga er even voor zitten. Hierbij Intona van Dick Rijmakers. En dat was dus Intona van Dick Rijmakers, Nederlandse pionier op het gebied van elektronische muziek en experimentele muziek. Dit was aflevering 177 van Edge Radio, gepresenteerd vanuit de home studio door Bauke Mekel. Volgende week zijn we er weer. En die keer weer gewoon vanuit de oogstudio. Het programma is ook te beluisteren via onze website www.rumori.org, waar alle radio-uitzendingen van Edge worden bewaard. Tot Edge, tot volgende week. Thank you.